Hello, and welcome to Travel Fun. My name is Mary Beth Clementi, and I am the host of this talk show on travel. And I often feature food and wine and beauty and other related subjects to travel. And in the fall, I like to have a heavy emphasis on food and wine. We're gearing up for the holidays, and it's fun too. And we're also hunkering down into our homes when we're not out having fun outside. And so it's a good time of year to focus a little bit more on food, home life, and just enjoying what the festive season has to offer. Today, I have a new local to Telluride in the studio. Her name is Marla Meredith, and Marla has a successful website called familyfreshcooking.com. And this is actually a lifestyle blog website, showcases food, recipes, travel, photography, and it's just a beautiful sight. And I'm thrilled to have Marla Meredith here on Travel Fun. Hi, Marla.
Hello, Mary Beth. Thank you for the lovely introduction.
Oh, well, it's nice to have you here, and it's nice to say that you're a local. Now, that's been since January of 2013.
That's correct.
And we are going to talk really about your Telluride experience in the second half of the program. I'd like to focus on that. You also cover travel, so you can maybe tell us about some of the things you've been doing in and around Telluride in that segment. First off, though, chat about familyfreshcooking.com. It's a gorgeous site.
Thank you very much. I work hard to keep it very visually appealing. As a matter of fact, that to me is the largest emphasis, is to make sure those eyeballs come to visit, because I think things are really pretty and happy and fun. It's just another way to make the world a brighter place. So Family Fresh Cooking, I launched in June 2009. And it was basically a way to try and revitalize my creativity. I came from a background as a textile designer. I worked for the likes of Disney and a number of licensed character brands for years doing textile design. Then I had my babies, and sort of life changed into more full-time mom. And with the economic turn that happened back, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, my job kind of, it almost dissolved, and it changed, it shifted, and it wasn't really what I wanted anymore. So when my daughter was born in 03, my son in 06, and it wasn't until really 09 that I discovered the world of blogging and the online community and the food world. I don't come from a traditional culinary chef background or anything like that, but I discovered, people had mentioned to me, oh, you're so into health, fitness, food, lifestyle stuff. Start a blog. I said, well, what's a blog? I had no idea. And then I did a little bit of research. I thought, well, let me tap my toe into this. And it was very amateur, very amateur. It was just recipes. They were shot in really bad light with my iPhone. They had a very healthy emphasis. Everything just, it was very pristine. And then I went to my first my food blogging conference in San Francisco in October that year. So I launched in June. October, I went to a food blogging conference. And the sections I was most interested in were the food styling and photography, the visual element. And when I saw these people were coming from, you know, Bon Appetit and Savor and high-end magazines and high-end blogs, and they were projecting on the screen the most amazing food photography. And I said, okay, boom, one day, that's me. I need to be them. I need to be up there. I need to be showing, you know, some of those gorgeous creations. I'm going to learn how to use the camera and style that food and become just as big as all these guys are who are presenting at these conferences. And cut to today.
Well, that's a great story, because after looking at familyfreshcooking.com, I was under the impression that you first started out as a photographer, food stylist, before even getting into the whole blogging world. So you sort of did things in reverse and have made it happen.
Yeah, it's funny. It's an interesting world out there. It seems like a lot of the true chefs, the ones that were trained, you know, Culinary Institute, Cordon Bleu, all that, they don't know how to photograph their food. They make the most stunning food, and I would love to get my hands on every single plate to photograph it. I find a lot of the food bloggers end up being self-taught and workshop-driven. You know, we'll go to a few workshops, we learn the basics, and then it depends upon how far you want to take it, how far you want to take, you know, the photography skills and all that kind of stuff. And these days, I mean, I'll go anywhere. I was at Blues and Brews photographing concerts, and we'll get more into that in the second half. But these days, it's gone so far beyond food because the art of photography is amazing to me. Capturing the light in all situations.
There's no doubt that the internet and social media has made people so incredibly visually driven. And I'm sure people go to your site and just kind of salivate by looking at the pictures. And
that's the goal.
Right.
It is. Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the recipes.
Sure.
Because you have some great recipes
there. Thank you. I'd say pretty much 99.9% of the recipes on my blog are completely original. I have a passion for just, I call it beautiful whole food ingredients and making them shine. And that's through that photography. You know, sure, everyone likes cakes and cupcakes and traditional, you know, higher calorie things. But I try to tone it down. Even if right now one of the most people are really gravitated this time of year, I have a pumpkin chocolate chip sort of breakfast cake I did. And it's all natural ingredients. It's just oat flour and maple syrup and pumpkin and dark chocolate. And I try to keep it looking like it's something decadent and you should maybe have a crumb. But no, I mean, this cake is like, enjoy it for breakfast, brunch, lunch, you know, snacks throughout the day and stuff like that. I try to keep things, especially as an active Tellurider, we want to stay fit. We want to stay lean. We want to stay sharp. So all the food in my blog is really has that, you know, whole food, high energy focus. And I come up with it on my own. I kind of know what works by now. And the altitude throws me a little bit, but.
Right. Lots of adjustments with the cooking and the baking, especially.
It's the baking. And oddly enough, things seem to be working out with similar measurements, just a little bit more time sometimes on the baking.
Yes. Oh, I'll never forget Thanksgiving a couple of years ago. My apple pie took about 2 hours.
Well, and the middle seems to stay a bit of a pudding texture in cakes.
Even I've been in the mountains for 12 years now in Colorado, and I'm amazed it still will grab me sometimes. What? You know, that takes double the time than I expected. So there is a lot to figure out.
Oh, for sure. For sure. It's fun, though. The challenge.
You also feature cocktails.
So that's new, Mary Beth. That's actually since I moved here last January. Family Fresh Cooking was definitely more the, you know, everyone can eat this. And then I decided after coming out here, you know, for my photography and recipe development, I just got really intrigued by the world of cocktails. And I love it. Today, actually, that's what I'm featuring is a cranberry bourbon maple cocktail.
Ooh, that sounds wonderful.
Simple.
Would you like to provide the recipe?
That one's so easy because all I did was I got some of that really rich unsweetened cranberry juice, sweetened it with a pure bourbon maple syrup, then added a nice bourbon to it, shook it in a cocktail shaker with some ice, so it's basically a martini, garnished with a skewer of fresh cranberries and some fresh cranberries floating on the top. So it really makes a beautiful, warming holiday cocktail for Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. It's beautiful to look at.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, summer, you can do it with cherries. Yeah.
And what other kinds of tips do you provide in terms of cooking on your blog?
Really, you know, in my writing, I keep my blog posts short as far as writing. I like to be funny. I just like to make people, you know, laugh a little bit. I keep things light. I don't go into anything that a dietitian and nutritionist would because I'm not one. So I just feel comfortable telling you what I like and showing a really pretty picture of it and creating a beautiful recipe. And I feel that people really, again, like you said, it's the lifestyle versus really direct you know, too much nitty-gritty information.
And the visuals, the pictures.
So fun. I have a ball. Like, I can't wait. I time my day around when the light's going to be right. So maybe I'll make something the night before. I'll have it in, let's say it's a taco salad. Maybe I'll have all the, you know, the guacamole made or something, you know, whatever can sort of hold overnight. And so maybe if I have some time in the evening, I'll prepare the segments of the recipe. And then during the day, I'll put it together when the light's right. Because I'm pretty strapped for time. So I have to kind of do things in pieces a lot of times. And then when the light's right, I'm a natural light photographer, 100%. So I have to have that perfect diffused sunlight situation
streaming
going
in through the kitchen window or dining room.
Thankfully, yeah, I have a studio on the side of the house and it's just open space next to me. So I don't have anything obstructing. You know, sometimes you have to diffuse the light a little bit. Sometimes you have to really bounce light into it because it depends upon what kind of day we're having here in Telluride. But what I like about where I live is we have nonstop daylight. It just keeps going, going, going. And it's been a perk of living up high.
Well, that's actually the reason, the number one reason I moved to Colorado for the sunshine.
So it's so pretty.
I didn't think of it in terms of being a big bonus for a photographer, but I guess you've nailed it too. Now, do you use any of the tricks that food photographers are known to use, such as spraying hairspray or shellac on a turkey or
That's
something?
That's a really
like
good
that.
Question. Again, I don't come from that traditional food stylist schooling where I think they do learn a lot of those techniques. And there's a few different thoughts. We need to eat it after. I need to feed two kids and a husband and myself, and I'm always hungry. So I don't want that food to go, I don't want it to go wasted. It's too pretty and it's too tasty. Sure, it needs to be reheated after I've been tinkering with it. But no, look, if you have fruit and vegetables, sure, you spray it with some water to get some pretty droplets and stuff like that. If it's bacon and it's already starting to dry out, maybe I'll spray a little, just some cooking oil on it to get it back to its glistening state. But anything I use to help the styling, it's a natural food or water that we're going to want to eat, you know, after.
Sounds good. I am visiting with Marla Meredith, and you can check out Marla's beautiful website blog at familyfreshcooking.com. It's a lifestyle blog. And actually, speaking of blogs, I am going to be posting this interview at my blog, bonjourcolorado.com, and I will post it as a podcast. People can listen to the interview and maybe your recipe for that wonderful cranberry bourbon martini. Maybe
I think that needs to.
You would share that with me. How pretty is that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about Marla's connection to Telluride.
Mm-hmm.
Be right back.
Simple life you want, if it's happiness you seek, hang your laundry on the line at least once a week. You might think it's more work, but it'll take a lot more time. But happiness is waiting, hang your laundry on the line. Take a beautiful morning, go and stand out sun, lower your stress, still get something done. You don't have to watch your breath or empty out your mind. You don't need a lot of instructions, you just need a clothesline.
Hello, and welcome back to Travel Fun. I am visiting with Marla Meredith, a Tellurider, since January 2013. Marla has a successful website blog called familyfreshcooking.com, and it really is a lifestyle blog. And Marla, you have been coming to Telluride for 10 years. On vacation?
10 years, and I became obsessed the second we saw it in the dark in 2003, March 2003. I knew the second I saw this place, I had to live here someday.
That's a story we have heard many times over. I think pretty much everybody who lives here had that impression.
You fall hard in love? Yeah, Totally. It's the best move we ever could have made as a family.
And you're originally from New York.
Originally from New York, from Long Island. And then went to school at Syracuse University, upstate New York. Lived in New York City for a while as a graphic designer. And then segued out to Southern California, which was supposed to be maybe 6 months, ended up being somewhere in the region of 13 years. And that's why I was very happy in 2003 to find Telluride, because it was my ultimate escape. Like, whenever I could, I was in Telluride multiple times a year.
Would you come on ski vacations?
I would come off-season, on-season, peak, not peak, mountain film. yeah, we were skiers from the get-go. So 2003 was really when I learned how to ski, when I came out here. And then, yeah, any opportunity. If there was a golden leaf, I would show up in Telluride. Anything would get me out of here.
So you have started to focus or feature Telluride on your blog.
I do often. Mm-hmm. And I'm so proud of it here. Our gem box canyon, our jewel, you know, that we live in. For me as a photographer, I call it the ultimate supermodel. You can't get a bad angle on Telluride. So yeah, I feature it all the time. I feature our restaurants independently. I feature a number of our festivals. And just our lifestyle here. A pretty day. I'll just photograph and feature the day.
So at familyfreshcooking.com, you have a mixture of recipes, entertainment tips, and travel. And often you feature Telluride and your new discoveries in Telluride, because now you're a full-time resident.
Yeah, now that I'm a full-time resident, and now that we drive, like when we used to visit, even if it was for 7 weeks in the summer, I didn't drive. I thought, you know, coming from Southern California, just let me fly in and take that gondola and walk everywhere. I didn't ever want to be in a car. Now that I live here, on the other hand, we have a car. We need to get around more. And I do explore. I head out to places like Durango, Hotchkiss, Delta, Montrose. I haven't gone really beyond the 3-hour limit yet. You know, Junction maybe be the farthest. You know, down the road we'll get further in the summer next year. But I love exploring. And I always turn off. Let's say I'm coming home from Montrose from doing errands. I turn off on random streets and just cruise for an hour just to see the beauty and take pictures.
And start taking pictures. Mm-hmm. What are some of your more memorable discoveries that you've made that perhaps you've blogged about?
Okay, so since I've moved here, I've embarked in the wonderful world of upland bird hunting. So I go out to Delta and Hotchkiss to the mesas over there, and I have learned how to use a shotgun, and I photograph the experience of, I've been out there with my huge 70-200 lens and the shotgun at the same time, hunting the field with the dogs and my guide. And I love being out in the tall prairie grass and the views. I think from the Hotchkiss location, you can even see like Crested Butte from there. So it's just amazing to be sort of like in one climate, but looking out to a huge peak. So I've been discovering not only the beautiful land, but the people in the different areas. I get to know, you know, the awesome folks, the locals, in all those neighborhoods.
This is radio, so people can't see what you look like, but you are a little bitty, petite lady, and to visualize you out on the prairie with a big shotgun and your camera, that's quite the visual I'm getting here. And now, weren't you talking about, instead of you have a whole new take on farm to table?
Yeah, I do. It's fun. You know, I'm new to the hunting world. I only started last March, and then the season stops, and now it's resumed. And I was just actually out on 2 trips to Montana for hunting and all that. It's kind of become my thing. I even ship my gun out when I travel. It's really fun. But yeah, so I'm learning, you know, yeah, when you shoot a bird, how to take it, a pheasant primarily, you know, how to take off the feathers and take the bird apart and then cook up a wonderful meal. And my kids, it's amazing to watch them eat something that was, you know, a few hours ago in the air. It's super, super fresh and super cool. And we talk about it. We talk about it at the table. You know, we don't have to get into too many details, but it's just neat for them to know that, you know, that food didn't necessarily come from a styrofoam and plastic wrapped package.
So what's next on your list? Maybe next year, El Conte?
I'd love to down the road. Yeah, I actually have my bow ready for me in Durango that I'm going to go pick up. I'm really excited about that. So right now, I think my focus is on basic skills. I have my hunter safety card. I'm just learning how to get a good clean shot. I shoot clays often. And yeah, a rifle would be down the road, and to shoot some hunt wild, you know, larger game.
That is quite the discovery that you've found within that outline area. Anything else you'd like to share that you have featured on Family Fresh Cooking?
Thankfully, living here, I get to go to all the festivals that I didn't used to get to attend here in Telluride. And each one, like, I'd never been to Blues and Brews. Kids had to be back in school in California. And so many things that I had typically missed, I'm here. You know, I am a local, and I'm so proud that even though I've been coming out here for 10 years, every day is new. My husband and I, every day, just are so grateful for all the experiences that we, you know, get to have. And the fact that I can bring it to the blog. So on the blog, you'd see the festivals I've been to and the individual restaurants. So if you're coming out to visit us in Telluride, you know, you can take a peek at the Sheraton or Pescado or Rev and the Bistro. I've, you know, covered, and we're going to be covering a lot more in the winter, which is super cool. And you'll see beautiful photos of the food that you'll be eating too. And you'll meet the chefs.
And what about skiing?
Sure. I love to ski. I can't wait for our season to begin. And I've been doing some snowy hikes, getting my legs ready for all that, you know, ambitious snow that I know we'll have.
It's interesting that you have a background in, well, you lived in New York, then Southern California, and now here you're in Telluride. How have you made those adjustments?
To be honest, Southern California was not for me at all as far as the weather factor, the consistency and the warmer climate. I am a girl who wants seasons. I grew up in seasons, and then I went to Syracuse, which was one long winter season. And I thrill at winter. I love the chill. I love the fire. I love the cranberry bourbon cocktail by the fire. So for me, the transition, I like the dry, cool weather. So it was, and since we've been coming out here since 2003, we knew it. We knew where everything was. I knew I wanted my children at school because I had met so many local kids here. I saw how happy they were. So there was only a transition of excitement, not any stumbles. It's just really easy. Yeah.
Let's focus on the holidays a little bit more. We were chatting earlier, and you said you don't have any real significant holiday traditions, except for you typically do go away. Are you planning to go away this year?
We are. I think our Thanksgiving might be at the high school this year. They throw a really nice community Thanksgiving, which we went to probably 6 years ago when we were
Alpine
just
Chapel.
Visiting. They do. Yeah, the Alpine. I love them. And they host, I think I'll volunteer in the morning and help them prep and then take the family there, you know, five or six whenever it starts and have a turkey dinner with our community. Thanksgiving's about community, and we're not, you know, we're not having any family fly in, and nor are we traveling anywhere at that point. So we want to be with our, you know, our pals here. And then
let me just ask, will you be providing any food tips to the folks at Alpine Chapel?
I donated money.
how many meals do they serve? Hundreds.
They're going to, you know, that's a good question you ask. I don't come from any large culinary catering background. I think those guys, when I had their food a number of years ago, it was lovely. And I love a simple Thanksgiving. I don't need anything, you know, super fancy, and, you know, give me a great stuffing and a well-prepared turkey. And no, so I'm really not. I think I'd much rather just be hands-on helping them prep, chop, you know, clean things up and get things ready. And
will you be doing a blog post on it?
I don't know yet. I might. It's not a bad
pictures.
Idea. Sure. Why not? Why not? And you did ask about the travel. Yeah, we do typically a Christmas. That's when we see the family. We see them on Christmas and New Year's. We'll be away for, you know, a chunk of time there. So.
And that's back east.
That's actually in the islands. We actually do a Caribbean vacation. So that will be, and that gets photographed a lot. The bright blue sea and all that stuff.
I have been visiting with Marla Meredith from FamilyFreshCooking.com. Marla, for those aspiring bloggers, or actually I have to say social media is integrated into everything these days, mm-hmm. whether it's Facebook, Pinterest, whether you're working for a real estate company or a restaurant or a hotel, whatever, it's a part of our lives. And you seem to be the diva of sorts of Telluride of social media because you really have a great following. What kinds of tips would you provide to people that either if they're thinking about starting a blog or if they're making social media part of their workplace?
And thank you for that compliment about being a diva. That's very kind. I just work really hard. And we were just talking before we started this that I typically wake up at 4 a.m. because I like to be on the pulse of kind of like, I like to publish things and be on Twitter and social media stuff when the East Coast has already, you know, had their coffee and they're kind of at work. So I like to be up early. I feel like I'm a stockbroker, but I'm not. But I like to be on the pulse of the market, let's say. But the advice I'd give is find your voice. Look at who you are. Find what you really want to talk about. Try to take a good picture. You know, I think Pinterest right now, I speak on Pinterest often at conferences. I get flown around to talk about that because I'm approaching my 500,000 mark, my 500,000 mark, and I have a pretty good following over there. And, you know, that's all visual based. These days, people want really, really quick. They don't sit and read paragraphs and paragraphs about something. They want a quick picture. How pretty is that resort? How pretty is, you know, whatever you're working on, you know, a real estate project, or they want a quick image. So, you know, make it pin worthy because that's kind of where it's going to end up. Make it something people want to see on Facebook. Get social. Go to other people's Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest accounts. Repin them. Reshare them. You know, you just got to be social like you would. You can't expect people to just love you without working, you know, getting to know them a little bit.
What day do you think is the best day of the week to post?
Oh, yeah, not Friday. Not the weekends. Although typically Sunday is our highest traffic days, which is odd. I don't post on Sundays. I just find people are perusing and maybe going through more older blog posts on Sunday. Monday's really strong. My days are Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Maybe I'll throw in another day of the week if I'm doing like a giveaway.
Hold on, you said Friday. I thought Friday.
I still do it because I like the Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'm a very Virgo. I like the 3 days that are separated. But because Friday, I feel like they're going to hit that post all weekend. It takes them through 3 days. So I'll publish it Friday by 6:30 in the morning. And then they're looking at it Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's got 3 days of impact versus Monday, Wednesday. You just have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, then you only have the day in between. Whereas I have three full days in between the Friday post, if that makes any sense. But I find that when I post something, all my comments and reactions typically come in the day it's posted, and then it dies, and then a new post has to be put out. People want, they need constant, you know, feedback that I'm there and that they can look at new things. So
you don't feel that is inundating people?
For me, I can't do much more because of the heavy level photography that I do.
How many blog posts do you do a week?
So typically three. So typically the Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Maybe I'll throw in like a giveaway or something in, you know, very small that it isn't heavily photography based. But the recipes are I take so many photos for these travel and I can't do more. Like physically can't handle it.
Three sounds like a good amount. Yeah. I have been visiting with Marla Meredith from FamilyFreshCooking.com. And speaking of blogs, I'll put this up as a podcast at BonjourColorado.com and perhaps a few photos. And thank you so much for being a guest on Travel Fund, Marla. And it's great to have you in our community.
Thank you. I am blessed and feel very grateful to be here.
And I wish you all the best for the upcoming winter season.
Yes, thank you.
Have fun. Take care and see you soon.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay.
Come on, fly with me, we'll float down in the blue.